I can't think of anything I'd rather do than introduce Tom Joyner to a radio audience. He's one of the great broadcasters in America, and he's back from Hawaii, and we're just thrilled to death to have Tom Joyner on the air today. Tom Joyner, everywhere I go, people tell me they love you, they appreciate your broadcast and the way you explain things. And so I'm very happy to step up to the golden airwaves of WTSB and present one of the great talk show hosts in America and has been for many, many years, one of the pioneers, the one and only Tom Joyner.
Thank you, Carl. I appreciate that. And Ann and I got home this morning just after 1 a.m. We flew in from San Francisco. It was a 15-hour ordeal through Dallas. But we had just come off of a cruise to Hawaii, and that where we've been several times. We've been very privileged to travel all over the world in this country, and it's a learning experience each time you get a chance to travel. And I understand, coming from the background I came from in rural Wilson, I hate to even talk about those things because, you know, people say, oh, well, you know, I hadn't even been to Apex, much less Hawaii. But I've worked 51 years to be able to do it. Let me say this before, a couple of things before we get into this. Number one, I understand there's some construction going on near the studios at WTSB. So, folks, if you hear any slamming and banging, Carl's not angry. It's just some people doing work next to the studio. We are going to try to take some calls today from you. If you know the number, Carl will give it to you here in just a little bit, or Chris will. If you want to call and talk with me or ask me questions or that kind of thing, or Carl, then feel free to do it. But I wanted to say this before we start that. I was very impressed by a recent interview that Carl had with Johnson County Sheriff Steve Bissell. The sheriff gave the best explanation of the strife in our country that I have heard. While the sheriff does not endorse profanity from his officers, he nevertheless pointed out the stress these officers are under every single day. Imagine that you are in law enforcement. You're trying to make an arrest on somebody breaking the law. And that lawbreaker is resisting the arrest. He's kicking you, he's spitting on you and cursing you and the mama who gave you birth. Do you think that you might react with a few choice words of your own? While I try to refrain from cursing, or cussing as we say down in Wilson, as we know it in the South, it's cussing, but I cannot say that I would not overreact, and neither can you. Sheriff Bissell went on to describe the danger each officer, male, female, black and white, Hispanic, each one, what they face each day. Imagine having to approach a car in the dark or in daylight, not knowing what weapon might be used against you. Imagine responding to domestic disputes where one side is on drugs, the other side drunk, both sides turning on you. Small children screaming, pleading for help. You're there to help them, only to have both of the antagonists turn against you. And that's the life of every law enforcement officer in the United States. The great, great majority of these officers are good, decent people with families at home praying for their safe return, not just once, but every single day. And we are admonished by liberal America not to judge all Muslims by the actions of a few militant Muslims, not to judge all black people by the actions of a few militant black people. But those same liberals try to judge all law enforcement officers by the actions of even fewer bad apples in law enforcement. We should all make a special effort to show our law officers the respect they deserve. Thank them for their service when you see them, not just today, but on an ongoing basis, just as we should do for our military, our firefighters, and others who have the thankless task of protecting us. Carl, I wanted to say that because I heard your interview with the sheriff, and he was about as concise on the problems we're facing in this country with the hate that's being fostered against our police that I have heard anybody, national or local, profess.
We got a great sheriff here in Johnston County, Steve Bizzle. His heart is in the right place. He believes in the Constitution, and I don't care what anybody tells him. He believes in the Constitution, and he's not going to let anybody tell him what that entails. He knows what it entails, and he's going to stand up for it.
You could certainly hear that in his voice, and I was very impressed with that. I've heard him before, but in that one instance, he hit the nail on the head as clearly as you can strike it. Now, our telephone number today would be what, Carl, for the call-in?
Well, I tell you, so long I couldn't remember it, so I'm going to get Chris to come in, and he is our telephone man here.
All right.
He's going to handle the telephones, and what we want you to do, we're trying out a new system here, a new way. We're going to let you folks that want to talk to Tom Joyner, this is a wonderful opportunity. The great Tom Joyner will receive a message from you, and Chris is going to tell you the number to call, and we'll sort of put you in touch with Tom Joyner. So if you want to talk to Tom Joyner, and I think everybody in the United States would like to do that, Chris, you come in and give us the details.
Call Tom right now at 919.
Hold it, I'm writing this down now. 919.
934-2058.
Do it one more time.
919.
Okay.
934.
Okay.
2058.
Now, who will call first? I just like to say I hope you'll try. This is a new system, and you can say I was the first person ever to call and talk to Tom Joyner on WTSB. So who will call? I'm just anxious for you to do that, and this is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Would you give me that telephone number one more time, Chris?
That number once again is 919-934-2058.
Okay.
Not a lot to do out there today, Carl. It's kind of a miserable day up here in Cary. The rain has been going since early morning. You know, while we wait for anybody who wants to call today, and I hope our listeners will, a lot of times people just sit by and say, well, I'll just listen. But you can't listen if nobody talks.
That's right.
We're waiting to hear from anybody who wants to talk. We're doing this simply because people have said they'd like to talk.
Here we go. Got a call coming in now, Chris. I don't know how to tie these people up to Tom, but you come in, Chris. Okay, we got a caller here on the line now. Caller, tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Thomas Jones from Corinth Forest.
All right, say that one more time.
Thomas Jones.
Okay.
Current holder.
Okay. Can you hear that,
Yeah, I can hear it. And Thomas and other callers, only necessary to give your first name. If you say something ugly about me, then I don't want to have the people know that I know who you are and can trace you down. So go ahead, Thomas.
I just wanted to ask you one question.
All right.
I heard you say that you joined the Navy in October of 1960.
Correct.
And you went to San Diego to a boot camp.
Yep.
And I think you said you were in company 548.
568.
Uh-huh. Okay. Because I went to Navy October of 1960. Went to San Diego, but I was in company 549.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I went in on October the 10th.
I think mine was about October 16, something like that.
Okay. So we were there at the same time.
Yes.
Having so much fun.
I could hardly contain my glee and merriment. But I will say this, and I've said this before, the Navy turned my life around, so I can only say good things about it. Boot camp is what boot camp was supposed to be. It's supposed warrant out those who shouldn't be there. And so, that's not the greatest memory in the world, but the people I met were.
Yeah. It was good for me. I left there, though, and I went through Operation Deep Freeze, 3 tours down to the Antarctic.
Oh.
But it was all educational.
Well, that will educate you in the Antarctic. There was a program that came up while I was in boot camp when we were about to come out, and you could go if you wanted to volunteer to go to the Antarctic, and you could be there, I think it was either a year or 18 months or something like that. You were pretty much underground the whole time, but the money would accrue, your salary and all the benefits would accrue, and you'd have a nest egg when you got out. I really thought about that, but then, when you're in San Diego, thinking about the Antarctic makes you quit thinking, so I didn't do it.
Yeah, well, I thought about it too, but once I got down there, we had that opportunity to what they call winter over. Stay over for a year.
Yes.
But when my 6 months was up, each time I come home.
I hear you. Well, we appreciate your service and we appreciate your call.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you taking it.
Thank you.
Now, Tom, that was a beautiful call. Sounded just as clear as a bell. And that gentleman is the first person to ever talk to you on the Skype. But we got a Skype situation here. You heard about Snipes and everything. But talking about Navy, you know, Veterans Day is coming up Wednesday. I remember the first letter I wrote home to my mama from Bainbridge. I said, "Dear Mama, we went marching today, and you know everybody was out of step except me."
Well, we got to boot camp. They huddled us all under this big tin roof out there.
Got another call here. I'm going to interrupt here. All caller, right. You on the air with the great Tom Jones. See, it's Tom Joyner. See, I'm getting old.
Tom Jones is pretty good, too.
Yeah, he's a good fellow, too. But we got one of the greatest men in America on the air with us, Tom Joyner. So, caller, tell us your first name and where you're calling from.
My name is Freddie. I'm around Princeton area.
Okay.
I want to say hello to Mr. Tom Joyner.
Yes, sir.
I try to listen to him every time I can.
Thank you.
And as far as the sheriff goes, he is a real fine gentleman.
Amen.
He is the best we've ever had.
Well, I agree with you.
And Mr. Tom, do you live in Naples, Florida?
We had a home there for 13 years. My friends George and Ann Beasley from North Carolina located down there and asked us to consider it. We went down in, I think, 1987 or 88 and bought a home there, and we kept it for 12 or 13 years. We came back because our granddaughters were here, and in fact, they only live 2 miles from my house. And so we sold the place in Florida about 5-6 years ago. I still go back. Sorry, go ahead.
I would live in the Fort Myers, Florida, in the 70s, 60s and 70s. All of 70s and a lot of in 60s. And I've done a lot of work in Naples down there, like construction work. And that is a mighty fine, nice town. There's more millionaires there than there is any small town is in the world, I think.
I think you're right about that. We lived in an area called Port Royal.
Yeah. That's a nice place, too.
That was where the old money was, and we were the new money.
Yeah, well, everything down there has changed so much, I'm sure, but I really enjoyed living down there, and I really enjoyed talking to you, Mr. Tom.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much, and I really appreciate your listening each Monday.
Another thing I wanted to ask you from Wilson, did you ever know Slim Short down there?
Oh, Lord, yes. I was, Slim Short was on WGTM way back in the day, Slim had the Packhouse Jamboree, which was a weekend like the Grand Ole Opry in a smaller scale. I sang on WGTM back in those days and at the Packhouse Jamboree. Slim even got me up on the Grand Ole Opry one time long, long ago. So, yes, I knew him very well.
You're familiar with Tours Not Swamp then, too.
Oh, yes.
I went to Slim Short's house one time. He was having a party. He had a real nice party room, and I really enjoyed it over there at Slim Short's house. He's a fine fellow. I don't know if he's still living or not.
I don't know. He was on Channel 9 for a long time with a morning show. Yeah. But I don't know if Slim is still alive. I haven't heard that he's not. But he was a good man.
Okay, Mr. Tom, I'm going to hang up and turn the radio back on, and it's a pleasure talking to you, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. A great telephone call there, and we got a new technology here. So we got a Skype telephone. It reminded me of my friend Sam Nairn, who used to play baseball. Well, anyway, I'll tell you about that. Got another call coming in. Friend, I want you to know that you're talking to one of the most popular broadcasters, a man that started one of the early pioneers in talk show hosting. So come on in and give us a first name and tell us where you're from and say hello to Tom Joyner. Come on in, sir. We had a call here coming in. Are you there? I don't know what happened.
Sometimes that happens, Carl.
That happens, so call back again, and this new technology, this thing just as clear as a bell, and it's kind of a new technology, and from now on, a lot of you folks will be here. We go again, caller, give us a first name, and tell us where you're calling from.
Hey, Carl, this is Ricky, and I'm in the big town of Micro.
Okay, Micro, and I want you to say hello to Tom Joyner.
Hey, Mr. Tom.
How are you, Mickey? Ricky, it's good to hear from you. My high school coach, a fellow named Joe Odom, was from Micro, North Carolina.
That's good to know. I've got a question for you. Actually, it's three questions.
All right.
What are the top three things that we can do during the election to improve things in the United States?
Well, first of all, vote. We had several million evangelicals who didn't like the choices. They weren't going to vote because of the Mormon religion, which was a mistake, by the way, for Republicans. And of course, the Democrats, that was a joke with Obama. So voting is going to be the key. If we can get the people who believe in some morality, who believe in God, who believe in this country, to actually get off the sofa and go vote, this thing can turn around. And that, I think that's the so far ahead of the other two. We can certainly talk to our congressmen and congresswomen and that kind of thing, and you should. But that doesn't do a lot of good. The process up there is so broken. So much into the sewer that I don't think you're going to turn it around unless we can get a president in office who has some morality to them, who does understand this nation was built on Judean Christian beliefs, and we are open to any other beliefs, but not to let it dominate us. So I think that the key of all the three would be, please, get out and vote.
Okay,
we thank you for calling in today.
Thank you, Ricky.
Yes, sir. And we appreciate the open line. You want to keep it open for just a little bit more time?
Yeah, we'll keep it open. The number is 919-934-2058. I wanted to say, too, something happened while I was gone that I did not know until this morning when I finally got up this morning. When I say finally, about 7:30. Dot Helms died while
That's
I was
right.
gone. And I did not know that. I knew that she wasn't feeling well.
Tom, let me get the caller in, and you keep on talking, but we're just caller. Come on in. Would you hold on to the line here for just a moment? Tom is making a statement right now, and so you just stay right where you are. As soon as Tom makes his statement about Mrs. Helms, we'll be right back to you. So you stay right there. Don't hang up, and we'll be with you in just a minute.
That was a bit of a shock to me to hear that this morning. Dot was a fine, fine lady. We got along so well. I have a couple of hundred hours of just Senator Helms and myself sitting and talking into a recorder, and I intend to write a book about it. I promised him and I promised Dot that I would not write that book until both of them had passed. Not that there's anything for them to hide, but I didn't want to get any controversy going before they both had passed away. So my condolences to the family. Dot and Jesse Helms were extremely good friends of ours and good people. So to the family of Dot Helms, I just offer my condolences and the hopes that God will give you the strength to muster through what is a very difficult time for you. All right, we've got a caller.
Yes, sir. I'm Steve, and I'm from Selma. And I was going to ask you with the description of the type of person we need. I got a problem. It's if it comes down to Hillary and Trump, I feel like just running. Anyway, it's neither one of them come up to that criteria. I was wondering what you thought, and I'll hang up and listen to your response.
All right. Thanks, Steve, very much. Hillary and Trump, first of all, I think Hillary, unless she's indicted, and I think she may be, but if not, he's going to have the Democrat vote. I mean, this thing is a power play all the way through. I mean, they keep saying Hillary is gaining ground. She's widening her lead. Over what? I mean, you and I go out to race a snail. We can widen our lead every day. We're racing a snail. The only thing she's running against, the fellow from Maryland doesn't have a prayer, is a socialist, Bernie Sanders of Vermont. Maybe a very nice fellow to have tea with, but his idea of 90% taxes and all that kind of stuff. So Hillary's gaining ground. It's almost laughable to say those things. Now, in the case of Trump, Donald Trump's a brilliant businessman. He's a great negotiator. If he could harness his ego, I think he could go into the White House, surround himself with the very best talent available, and turn this thing around. So I wouldn't rule out Trump, although he is not my my best choice at the moment. But comparing Trump and Hillary, Lord knows I would go vote for Donald Trump, and I'd take anybody who wanted to ride with me. That's not to say I endorse Trump. He's not my first choice. If he would simply develop some tact and stop attacking everybody, because you can't do that. I mean, you can do it in business. He's been very successful, kind of browbeating his opponent and calling it negotiation. But you can't do that on the national stage. You can't call the Russian president a buffoon or the Chancellor Merkel, you know, a bad name. That bothers me with Trump. Whether he could harness that, I don't know, but he has not throughout his whole life. But the bottom line, if it came to Hillary and Trump, I'd have to vote for Trump. In the case, well, I won't vote for Hillary regardless. But in my case, right now, I like Ben Carson. I like, and I understand he hadn't had a lot of experience. How much did Obama have? He showed up in the Senate in Illinois and voted present. I like Ted Cruz, and I like Rubio in particular. That's not to say I don't like any of the others, but in particular, I like those. To me, a great ticket would be Rubio Cruz or Cruz Rubio. But each person's got to make up their own mind. I would just remind you that Hillary Clinton has been covered all of her adult life by the mainstream media. They're attacking Ben Carson, saying that Ben Carson, back decades ago when he was 12, 13 years old, didn't really try to knife somebody, didn't really suggest hitting his mother over the head with a hammer. He didn't hit his mother with a hammer. He says that his brother stopped him from that, but he's simply saying that he was a rebellious kid, and that he got redemption as he got older and became a fine human being and an incredibly good brain surgeon. Now, the media is down in the dumpster looking for anything they can find, and this is the best they can find? The man's got to defend himself for having... not for having struck out at people when he was young, but for having told about it. You prove it to us. Prove that you struck this guy. I mean, come on. And meanwhile, we elect Barack Obama, with the media's help, and the man completely obfuscated his entire life. He had his records sealed. Ben Carson hasn't done that. Obama has been covered all this time, and you're going to find out about Obama's past, but it's going to be after he's out of office and perhaps even too late for us. I hate to go on too long on that, but...
Yes, sir. We got a caller coming in, so I've got one more call. And caller, I want your first name, where you're calling from, and I want you to talk to the number one of the great talk show hosts of all time, Tom Joyner. First name and where you're calling from.
Yes, my name is Jim, and I'm calling from Salem, Oregon.
Oh.
I just want to say thank you, Tom. Yes.
Jim, I have... I know that you had. By the way, Salem's a beautiful city.
Thank you.
I knew that you had called, took the effort to call WTSB some time back to tell them that you were listening out there in Salem, Oregon. I've kept that in mind, and it is really nice to talk to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the hard work that you do, Tom. That's why I'm calling. You know, I first started listening back in 08, I believe, 07, when my son was living there in Clayton. And I've really enjoyed listening to you, and I get your tapes, and I try to share those tapes with the people around me, you know, in the church and what have you.
Yes.
And get people familiar with what's going on. So they always ask me, how in the world do you know this stuff? You know, I say, well, I got this guy. He's a great commentator of news. His name is Tom Joyner. And they go, well, who's that? I get a tape and I share it with them, you know?
I appreciate that very much. And, Jim, when we hang up, if you will hang on and talk to Chris and give him your address, I'm going to send you a signed copy of my last book, Tom Joyner in Black and White.
Oh, I appreciate that, Tom. And thank you, for all the hard work you do. And just God bless you and your family. Brother.
Thank you so much. And anybody you can get to and turn on to our program out in Oregon, we appreciate it very much.
I will. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jim.
Tom, this has been a great treat today to have callers call in. We have worked on this for a long time, and the quality of the calls were just absolutely perfect. And, Tom, I appreciate everything you do. You're a great broadcaster. It's an honor for me to have you on the Golden Airways of WTSB. And what a lot of folks don't know, Tom Joyner, but you know, we've got one of the greatest listening audiences at WTSB of any station, anywhere. I don't care where that station might be.
You overperform in your market, Carl. There's no question about that. And we're getting other stations now that are wanting to carry our commentaries. And I'm thinking about and working with that, and we'll get together and talk about it at some point. And we will try to open the lines again on some other programs so that you folks can get to us and talk to us. And I hope that Sheriff Bissell and some of his staff were listening today, because I wanted to make sure to congratulate him on being as concise as I have ever heard regarding the life of the people who patrol and protect us every single day.
Tom, I'm going to make this broadcast available and give it absolutely free to our Sheriff Steve Bissell. And thank you for a great commentary today. I can't tell you how wonderful it is to have one of the great, great talk show hosts of all time here on the airwaves with me. And George Beasley, I send him my love and best wishes, and I'm glad you're back from Hawaii. And this relationship and your impact on America is going to grow and grow and grow. And thank you for a great broadcast today.
Thank you, Carl, and God bless America.